I don't know about you, but when I watch TV, which isn't a lot, but when I get to, I tend to want to watch the same things. And you get on these kicks where you watch the same thing. And lately I've been watching this show called Property Brothers on HDTV. I don't know how many of you have seen it, but in the show, they have two brothers, and one's more a designer and one more the renovator. And they work together to try to get usually a couple a new home and renovate. And their kind of method is they first take them to this brand new house that's fully furnished, has everything they want, and then they drop the price on them. And then the couple's like, sorry, we can't afford that, you know? So they said, well, what we can afford is to take an older home and renovate it into something you like. And it's interesting that as they're going through these old homes, one of the guys will be like, yeah, we'll take down that wall there, and the kitchen will go here, and the refrigerator will go here. And usually the couple's like, what? I can't quite visualize it. And one of the remarks that I keep hearing over and over on this television program is, that's hard to picture. That's hard to picture. And eventually they take them into their little studio and they show them a little computer design of it. And that's when they go, ah, that's awesome. I love that. God works in somewhat of a similar way with us. He speaks to us through His Word and through His church, but a lot of times we say, I don't know, God, I'm having a hard time picturing that, or I'm having a hard time understanding that. And so what does He do? He creates a visual for us. This is exactly what a sacrament is, and the sacramental life. Visuals for an invisible world. It was St. Augustine who said that a sacrament is a visible reminder of an invisible reality. This is particularly true for us as Catholics when it comes to our hunger. One of the basic necessities of life is food, and yet our church says that we should regularly fast. Why? So that we bring into the visible, the felt, and the tangible world those things that are sometimes invisible. What's the invisible part? A deep spiritual hunger. And guys, on a very practical level, when we fast and we feel that hunger in our bellies, it's a reminder to us and hopefully something that will spur us on to treat the great spiritual hunger that lies beneath. I had a spiritual director in college. His name was Father Gus. We called him Gus Gus. He was a little short guy, Franciscan friar, wore a black robe and a white, belt around his waist. And one time I went to confession to him and I told him that I had, not been praying first thing in the morning or making that a priority in my life. And he reached over across from his chair and he bopped me on the head and he said, "Don't eat until you've prayed." Still working on that one. Don't eat until you prayed. Why? Because we have this tendency to want to really satisfy our spiritual hungers with things in this world, whether it be food or some other type of enjoyment, without really treating the spiritual hunger. I'd like to share with you today three keys to satisfying that spiritual hunger, three keys to spiritual nourishment. And the first is this. Allow yourselves to be led into the wilderness. I remember in college, I was really struggling with my vocation. I very much grew up wanting to be married and have children, loved family life. But I also felt this deep call to do something more, something different. And I remember reading a book by Father Michael Scanlon out of Franciscan University. And he talked about his own struggle with his vocation and not knowing what to do. And so he actually decided one day that he was going to go out on a hike in the middle of nowhere, and he was not coming back until God told him what to do. Kind of a risky venture. And he went out, and he spent all day, and then, of course, in the 11th hour, he finally felt God speaking to his heart. I know for me, in my own discernment, is those times that I most felt God speaking, and it doesn't happen right away, but times when I went out into the wilderness, whether physically or figuratively, it could be going on a retreat or just taking a day for prayer, As priests, we often take what are called desert days, where we void ourselves of media and enjoyment and simply take a day for prayer. To, as it were, go out into the desert, where there's nothing else to distract us from God. And like the people in the first reading today, in the gospel, we have to allow ourselves to be led out into the wilderness. Keep in mind, it says that Jesus went out to a place, a deserted place, to be alone. And yet all these people followed him out there. I mean, they weren't worried about, well, when are we going to have dinner and my television program's on tonight? And I've got to, you know, do this and do that. No, they followed Jesus even though he was going out into the middle of nowhere. And brothers and sisters, we have to do the same. This means going into the unknown. For many of this means, it means a spiritual experience that we haven't known before. Many of you grew up saying your prayers at night before bed, right? Going to Mass on Sunday. But for many of you, that's still your spiritual regimen. And that's the spiritual regimen of a child. We need to grow and do more or do differently. And that means learning new methods of prayer, taking part in Bible studies, even going on retreats. You have a wonderful resource in this diocese called the Spiritual Life Center. It is a retreat house up in Bel Air. And every week they offer opportunities for spiritual growth. And I know it's on a clear on the other side of town, but believe it or not, Wichita's not that big. And you can actually get over there in about 20 minutes, going the speed limit. Many opportunities in our diocese and in our parish for spiritual growth. It also means leaving most things behind and taking only what we need. This means putting aside the distractions in prayer, turning off our phone, going to a quiet place, as the scriptures say. A second key to good spiritual nourishment is letting God provide, not trying to do it on our own. Certainly, we have to cooperate, and that's why experimenting with different types of prayer or different methods of prayer, different retreats, different Bible studies, that's all good and necessary. But we ultimately must remember that God is the one who does the work in us. And so ultimately, prayer and spiritual nourishment is simply about sitting down at the table with Jesus, letting him serve us. In our first reading, God encourages us to come to drink and eat from his table, not one we have to prepare on our own. And I think a lot of us are reluctant to really come into a deeper relationship with God because we feel ashamed. Maybe ashamed that we don't bring anything to the table. Or that the times that we have come to the table, we've taken that spiritual nourishment and we've blown it. We've sinned, we've squandered it. And now we're right back at the table, even hungrier than we were before, saying, God, I still need you. And you know what? This is the God of unconditional love. He doesn't care. Come on back and be filled. You're still invited. In our psalm, it says, the hand of the Lord feeds us. He answers all our needs. And I found that particularly striking the other day when I was reading it, because it says the hand of the Lord feeds us. I don't know about you, but I've never seen the hand of the Lord, at least not like the scriptures say, riding on a wall or Jesus right in front of me. In fact, if I had to say anything, I'd say the hand of Ruth Connor feeds me every week. She brings me my meals. But it makes you stop and think, is it really the hand of the Lord that feeds us? Because we have this tendency to think that I did it. I worked for this money so that I could buy my groceries or go out somewhere to eat. Or do I really look at that as a blessing from God and coming from the hand of God? Does my income come from the hand of God? Do the blessings in my life come from the hand of God? Will I even go so far as to say that the trials in my life come from the hand of God? and He answers all our needs. Who feeds your family? You or the Lord? A third and final key to good spiritual nourishment is eating regularly. During the school year, I have RCIA on Thursday nights, and at least thus far, I've been the primary teacher. And Thursdays are probably my busiest day of the week and most stressful. In the morning, I go out and visit the homebound, which I love doing, but you're going from house to house to house to house all very quickly. And then I come home for lunch, and then I'm in the office in the afternoon, and then I have to prepare for RCIA. I usually have a meeting or two before that, and then go over and teach at 7 p.m. And often, I don't get a chance to eat until about 9 p.m. on Thursdays. And I've learned that that's a very bad deal. What do? I wait so long to eat that I binge, right? You get so hungry that you want to eat everything in sight. And then you're up till like midnight watching reruns of MacGyver or something, and you can't sleep. A doctor or a nutritionist would tell you it's much better to eat regularly throughout the day and to stop and eat at the proper times, even if you don't get to sit down to a good proper meal, maybe even having little snacks along the way. This is an apt analogy for our spiritual lives. Because what we tend to do is, like eating, we put off what we really need to nourish us. And then we finally get to a point where we're so hungry that we binge, and it's really not the best for us. Instead, it's better to nourish ourselves regularly throughout the day. Now, just as when you're super hungry and you need food, if you need food, you eat. And if you need to pray, you pray. But you'll find yourself a lot more balanced in your day and a lot more healthy spiritually if you're praying regularly, stopping throughout the day. This is why the church gives us the liturgy of the hours. This is the prayer that priests and religious are required to pray, but all Christians are encouraged to pray. In fact, there's some great websites out there, divineoffice.org, ibreviary.com or org, one of the two, where you don't actually have to look it all up and figure it out. It's right there laid out for you and you can pray it. We stop, or we're supposed to stop, and pray those every 3 hours throughout the day. Why? To stop and get spiritual nourishment so that we don't end up hungry. If you are ready to journey into the wilderness and to leave everything behind, to give Jesus the little you have and let God provide, and if you're ready to make a commitment to regular nourishment, then be ready for what the first reading talks about. Not just coming to get bread or water, but to drink milk and wine, and to receive in abundance, because 5 loaves plus 2 fish minus over 5,000 mouths still yields 12 baskets of leftovers. And our God is the God that gives in abundance. If you are generous with God, even with the little you have, even with your brokenness, even with just the hours of your day, He will be exceedingly generous with you. The Lord is never outdone in generosity.